from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to the show. Tonight, we face addiction. We face it head on. Addiction is a powerful topic, and my guess is that there is not a listener out there who hasn't been impacted by addiction, at least in some way. And tonight, we're going to deal with it. So if you're struggling with addiction yourself, if you have a loved one who's struggling with addiction, and you'd like some insight around it, how to speak with your loved ones, because that's also really, really challenging, then give us a call. The number is 866-391-1020. Or you can email us on the Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkaradio.com. Or you can text us at 866-391-1020 on the Wright Automotive text line. That's the best deal in Pittsburgh. Look, addiction is gripping. It's gripping. I've said in the past, and I've used this kind of as my tagline, that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are people who have issues and dead people. In other words, we all have issues. We all have issues. But here's something equally as profound. We have a tendency to minimize other people's problems and maximize our own. And look, I'm in this with you. We're all in this together. So in other words, if you stub your toe, you know, it's a big deal to you, but somebody else is like, ah, whatever, you stubbed your toe. Now, in terms of, let's say for me, for instance, a few weeks back, I was sick. Now, as a man who was sick, if you ask my wife, that was a big deal. That was like a big 911 emergency for me just to have a flu. I mean, it was call in the troops because I had the flu. And, you know, I made that maximized. I made that big. Look, I'm sick. I need the world to know. We might as well have neon signs out there. But it's true for all of us in the sense that we maximize the struggles we experience, but minimize the struggles others experience. And I like to have fun and poke fun at myself around that. But what is not really fun to joke about, or not a joke in any way, is when we talk about addiction and how it impacts us. And here's what happens. And this is something that is emotional It's an emotional issue for so many people. We're going to talk to someone tonight from the Addiction Policy Forum. I'm going to tell you about the Addiction Policy Forum. I'm actually the state chair for Pennsylvania, and it's just an unbelievable organization that's there to provide actual support and help. It's designed to help save lives, and I'll give you numbers. I'll give you information on that tonight. But one of the key pieces that I'm going to focus on tonight is judgment, because we have such a tendency to judge people when they're going through addiction, and we seem self-righteous in our ability to judge someone. But yet, and I brought up that whole two kinds of people thing at the beginning, because I believe life happens on a continuum. So maybe on one end of the spectrum, someone's suffering with really intense addiction. Maybe on the other end of the spectrum, people are struggling with a mild addiction. But let's face it, whether you are struggling with, hey, I am addicted to sugar, maybe I'm addicted to caffeine, before we judge others, and this is an important centerpiece for me, before we judge others, it's important for us to wipe away that judgment and approach people with humility. I think that changes just about everything, to approach people with humility. So one of the things that I think I can help introduce tonight is the idea of what happens neurologically when someone is struggling with addiction. So if you or your loved one are struggling with addiction, there are things that happen in your brain that are really taking over for you. There was a story out of Oregon that was heartbreaking to watch, but there was a retired Army sergeant who was struggling with addiction. He was taken in custody, and these sheriffs in Oregon kind of laughed and watched him actually until he passed away. And they were making fun of him. Oh, look at this addict. Calling him names, laughing on the camera, videoing him. Now, my show is not about let's pull up a topic and let's talk about that topic. My show is about you specifically. It's about me specifically. It's not about others out there. So my telling you about that story isn't to judge the people who were doing that on the camera. That's not my purpose at all. My purpose is to tell you about it, to say that we have as a society come to accept that it's okay to judge someone who's struggling with addiction. And I'm here to say firmly tonight that it's not. It's not okay to judge people. It's not. And once we realize that we minimize the harm we cause others and maximize the harm they cause us, then we step away from that judgment. There is hope. There is hope. And that's big, because I think a lot of times as soon as we know that someone in our lives is struggling with addiction, we think there's no hope. That's it. They're down that path. For the longest time, addiction has kind of been a mystery. Some people get really upset if you phrase it as a disease, but modern neuroscience tells us that it is a disease. It impacts our brain. There is a physical, chemical change in the brain when you become addicted to certain substances. And so I'm going to talk about that tonight. I'll teach about that. I think it's really important to pull all of that in. But along the way, if you have questions and you want to talk about it, you want to know, how do I approach a loved one? Because listen, isn't that the key? We see someone struggling and we say, how can I approach that person? So I developed something called yield theory 20 years ago. I've been working on this for 20 years. It's my legacy to the world. I'm excited to put my book out with Sounds True Publishing. It'll come out next year. But the whole concept about yield theory is getting around people's fight or flight response. Because as soon as we want to tell someone, hey, change what you're doing, do something differently, you need to get help, as soon as we do that, we tend to shut people down. And there's a big difference between standing on a soapbox and declaring that you're right and not really making a difference, and actually getting through to someone. If you want to talk tonight, the number is 866-391-1020, or you can email us on the Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkaradio.com, or text us at 866-391-1020 on the Wright Automotive text line. This is Emotional Management. We're talking about addiction on KDKA Radio. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. The number, if you want to be a part of the show, is 866-391-1020. Or you can email us on the Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkaradio.com. Or you can text us at 866-391-1020 on the Wright Automotive text line. That's the best deal in Pittsburgh. Tonight, we're facing addiction. And I like to phrase it as facing addiction. I think when we approach any subject, we tend to run from it. We run from conflict. Time and again, we run from conflict. But I think it is in our human nature to face what we need to face. It's getting to be Halloween time, so you might see some gargoyles out, right? You'll see gargoyles out. And you wonder if you've ever noticed that gargoyles sit outside of churches. Medieval churches would put these gargoyles up. And you think, well, what is that for? What is that to ward off evil spirits? It's not. Here's the real reason why we had gargoyles outside of churches. Gargoyles were intended for this. If what is on the inside of that church is your salvation, something that is divine for you, then in order to get that, you've got to face your fears. You've got to walk through those fears. And they were designed to say, look, you're willing to go through it to get what you want. There are some beautiful imageries throughout the spiritual world. In Buddhism, there's a belief that when you die, you're faced with either these beautiful gods or your worst fears. And if you go toward these beautiful gods, you get reborn again as a lowest life form because you took the easy path. But if you face your worst fears and you go through it, you realize it's just a projection of what's inside of you. Facing things is inside of us. It's inside of us. We're not designed to just run from things. We want to go through it. Unfortunately, there are times where we say, I don't feel like going through it. So I want to rephrase that and say we are designed to have the ability to go through and face whatever we need to face. It's not always easy. But oftentimes, the biggest part of the obstacles we face when we want to confront something like addiction, the biggest obstacle is what occurs in our minds. So we build up barriers. We build up walls. We build up obstacles in our mind, and we think, I can't say this because so-and-so will say this. I can't approach so-and-so because I don't want to offend so-and-so. Instead, we don't face it. And that's when things build. Think about how many problems in your life have been built upon an unwillingness to simply face them. I say this to young people all the time. I do a lot of work with sports teams. So I will tell the athletes, I'll say, look, if we have a problem and it's, you know, the size of let's say one rock. Let me give you a visual. Let's say it's the size of one rock. So this problem between two people is the size of one rock. If somebody pulls in another person, now it's the size of two rocks. You pull in another person, now it's three rocks. So we build problems up rather than just facing it while it's the size of one rock. If we can be quicker to confront what we need to confront, we can really make a difference. But again, part of the challenge is how we confront others. And that's where yield theory for me comes into play. This is why I teach people to lead with compassion. Because if my goal is to interact with people simply to tell them how I'm right and they're wrong, then yes, I'm going to elicit defensiveness. But if my goal is to genuinely communicate care and compassion and love, then there's a good chance I can do that by being straightforward with someone. Hey, listen, I've been noticing that you've been different recently. I've noticed recently that you seem to be struggling. My heart goes out to you. I want to be able to understand what's going on with you. I want to provide a safe space for you. Oftentimes, people don't reach out about any subject, about anything, whether they're struggling with depression, addiction, anxiety. People don't reach out for fear of how others might respond. But what if we could create a more compassionate universe, a more compassionate environment? You might say, that's idealistic. We can't do that. No, but you can. I can. I can change myself. You can change yourself. We think so much, we don't have to change the whole world. We just have to change ourselves. We have to work on ourselves. So imagine if you could make yourself a safe enough space. Parents ask me this about their young children starting to lie to them. Why would they lie to me? I don't know why they would lie. Well, they would lie because they don't want to get in trouble. What if they, if your goal is to teach children to be honest, then you have to create the type of environment that allows them to feel safe enough to own up to what they did. That doesn't mean don't punish them, not in any way. Absolutely, be consistent, but do it in a way that leads with compassion, that the goal is to teach, that the goal is to share. When we lead with humility, things change. So I've noticed something in my 44 years on the planet. I'm sneaking in that I'm 44 years old because my birthday's in a couple weeks, so I'd rather just be on air saying I'm 44. But so yeah, in 44 years, I've learned something, and I've learned that the older I get, life really isn't as complicated as we make it. Life is not as complicated as we make it. People, I do a lot of work in the prison system, and I'm in the prisons and talking to people all the time about peace. So I asked an inmate the other day, I said, I want you to imitate me. Give me your best imitation of me. I'm good. I can handle it. Whatever you want to throw at me. I had no idea what she was going to throw at me. And she said, oh, I'm Dr. Conti. I want you to have peace. And I said, hey, I'll take it. I'll take it. If that's your imitation of me, I will take it. I don't care if I have a goofy voice in your mind. What I care about is that you see that what I'm really about is peace. If we want to get good at the piano, what do? We practice playing the piano. If we want to get good at peace, we have to practice peace. If we want to make ourselves a safe space for people to talk to come to feel safe, to open up to, then we need to work on ourselves in wiping away our judgment. And instead of thinking, I need to prove to the other person that I have the answers, instead say, I want to prove to the other person that I'm here with you. I'm here with you. I might not have the answers, but I'm here with you. And I'm here with you tonight. That's why if you want to call in 866-391-1020, or you can email us on the Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkaradio.com, or text us at 866-391-1020 on the Wright Automotive text line. So we're getting some emails and some texts, but we're welcome to call in and talk about whatever's going on. If you're struggling with addiction, if you have a loved one who's struggling with addiction, give us a call. This subject of addiction is so powerful. I heard something the other day that I want to share with you, and I really want this number to sink in for a minute. More than 144 Americans die as a result of an overdose every day. That's the equivalent of two sold-out 747s crashing every week in America. That is beyond sad. We know someone who's struggling with addiction. And here's the challenge that we come to. This is one of the part of the problem. We associate saying, well, addiction is all, this is just a party. They're just out to do drugs and just have fun and just let loose. And that's what it's all about. So who cares if they get hurt? Who cares if they're struggling? Because they're just trying to party. First of all, I would like to start with, when did it become inhuman to want to maximize pleasure and minimize pain? I'm pretty sure that's the essence of human beings, right? We want to maximize pleasure and minimize pain. Somehow we convince ourselves that when we maximize pleasure and minimize pain, it's okay. But when others do it a different way, it's not okay. But I want to go talk about addiction, not in terms of thinking this is all about, oh, I just want to party or I just want to have fun. That's not where addiction comes into play. To understand neurologically something happens, here's what I want to start with. In your own brain, when you struggle with judgments and you get, let's say you're irritated, you're irritable, you're agitated. And you say, well, if I just came to you and I said, well, just don't be irritable, just don't be agitated. You'd be like, well, I can't. And now I'm getting more irritable and agitated with you. If I told you to just stop doing it, you couldn't just stop it. Why not? Well, because it's physiological. So maybe sometimes, for instance, let's say you're hungry. If you're hungry, listen to this. This is kind of cool. Your hunger is located in a part of your brain called the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is centered in the middle of your emotional system in your brain. So if you've ever had that experience of hanger, it's because you're hungry and you're angry. And well, what's happening is you're literally steeped in the center of your emotional part of your brain. So when you're hangry, to somebody to just say to you, hey, Just stop being hangry right now is really difficult. You can't just stop. Now, when we come to look at addiction, I want you to also think about it in terms of hunger. What happens in addiction is something called hijacking, and we're going to talk about this coming up, but the brain literally gets hijacked. And imagine if your brain is hijacked by something. We're not judging somebody for that. Look, if you want to be a part of the show, 866-391-1020, or you can email us on Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkradio.com, or text us at 866-391-1020 on the Wright Automotive text line. Addiction impacts so many people. And I have no doubt that you know someone or that you are struggling with addiction yourself. What I want you to hear from me is there is zero judgment on my part. My part is not about a judgment. My part is about helping you find solutions. Tonight, we're talking about addiction. And I know this is a subject that is powerful. It's emotional. There are people I know out there, you've either know someone or have personally lost someone to addiction, or you might be struggling with addiction yourself. So the number to call in for this show is 866-391-1020. One of the things I want you to know is you're not only helping yourself by calling in, but you're also helping others, because we get calls all the time and emails that say, well, I was really benefited from listening to your conversation with so-and-so. So I always want you to know that you can call in anonymously, or you can change your name, whatever you want to do. This is radio. We cannot see you. But 866-391-1020 is the number. If you feel more comfortable sending an email, that's why Dollar Bank Instant Access does that for you with kdkradio.com. And of course, you could also text us at 866-391-1020. And that number is brought to you by the Wright Automotive text line, which is the best deal in Pittsburgh. So if you're, there are some things to understand about how addiction affects the whole family. I think a lot of times we center on the people who are struggling with addiction, and we miss out also on all of the people who are impacted. So if you're a mother and your child is struggling with addiction, I have sat down with mothers through the years who have said just a helpless feeling. Like, I want so bad. I remember I was working with someone when I had a center out in South Lake Tahoe, California. And her son was struggling with heroin use disorder. And she would come to me and say, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm lost with what do I do? Because if whatever I give him, he takes whatever money I give him, he takes straight out. He's in a really tough spot, and he'll go right out. He'll use again. I'm afraid to not take him in. I just don't know what to do. And I'll never forget the sense of helplessness that she expressed. And again, on my end, I mean, there's definitely that moment of like, wow, you know, I mean, I wish I had a quick, solid answer. But part of it is that we're here for each other. We are here for each other because we don't have to do this alone. Like, I've talked about this in the past. If we visualize pain as a very heavy log, you don't have to carry that log on your own. That's why we're in this life together. We have each other to help carry this, because addiction does affect the whole family. Let me tell you about when someone is struggling with addiction. Oftentimes, there are feelings of shame. There are feelings of shame. So here's what happens. I've done this for 20 years. My research has led me to see that people who live in shame act out of shame. So I was doing a training with UPMC nurses today. Just such a beautiful group. Just a beautiful group. We are blessed to have UPMC here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But I'm talking with these women and men who really dedicate their lives to helping others. And I was talking about how all of us, our energy is important. So we think, what can we do? If we're one person, what can we possibly do? Well, let me tell you what we can do if you're one person. You can control you. You can control the energy that you bring to situations. So our daughter is in theater. She is awesome. She's going to be Belle in her upcoming play. She got the lead role. Super proud of her. Proud dad moment here. Super, super excited. But through the years, she's gone and she's been in plays and musicals, and maybe she got a smaller part here and there. And every time, one of the things my wife and I would say to her was, if you have one line, if you have one word, then make sure you put everything into that one word, to that one line. And if we think about on the stage of life, If you get a chance, there are 7 billion people in the world. We're not going to see all of them. But whatever people you do get to talk to, whatever people you are in front of, if you can put your best into that, it changes something. Now, you might not be able to make people do this or that. And that's a helpless feeling at times. Until we surrender to the idea that we're not going to make people do anything, but what we can do is surround people with love. We can surround people with love. And that's an important thing to know. So I want you to understand too what happens with your brain if you're getting burned out from seeing people who are struggling and you don't know like why is this happening? And you're getting frustrated, you're getting agitated. Well, something called empathic distress. When we have empathy distress, what happens in our brain is we literally are feeling for the other person and we're taking it on so much that we're experiencing the pain that they're experiencing. And now that happens, that can burn us out. That can make us feel agitated, irritable. And then all of a sudden we become judgmental and we become defensive. And it's because we have something going on neurologically as well. I want to talk more about this. We're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to go to Josh. Josh, you're on KDKA Radio, Emotional Management.
Yes. I've been dealing with addiction since 2013. And I've been hiding it since then. I've been forced to try to self-medicate and try to wean myself off. But it's tough. And just curious on if you had a recommendation to even trying to find a proper doctor to even help me get off this.
No, absolutely. First of all, I appreciate your call. I think this is something that is, I really appreciate your call because it takes courage to be able to step up and say, yeah, I have been struggling with this for some time and I haven't wanted to reach out. So that takes guts and I'm just, you know, I'm definitely awed by that. I appreciate you calling in. Look, there are, first of all, I definitely want to give this number to you for Addiction Policy Forum. They have the Addiction Resource Center, and we'll make sure we have this stuff up on KDKA as well. But I really want you to take this down. It's 1-833-301-HELP, which is 1-833-301-HELP, or 4357. They're there to be able to help provide those resources. This is a national organization, so they're not like with one, it's not like one particular company. They're there to help you find resources in your area. So wherever you are, they'll be able to find whatever is the best possible help for you there. But go ahead, Josh.
Because actually, I was trying. This is the first time I ever listened to the station, and just right away, it's like you're hitting everything right on the dot. Like, going through this stuff, my main concern is I don't want work finding out. I don't want this held against me going forward. I've gotten off the opioids, but I think the Suboxone is just as bad.
Yeah, you know, it's what happens is it is literally changing. And I think this is important for you to know. It's literally changing the neurochemicals in your brain. So we get to a point where we go, you're not wrong or bad. Like if anybody out there has any ounce of a judgment for it, you have to understand that judgment comes from a place of their own neurons firing a certain way. So yes, it is tough to get off of, but here's the great news. And this is like something that I really want to jump on is it is possible to get off, and it is also possible to rebuild those neural networks without that. So that's something I need you to know. It is possible, because I think sometimes we go into it and we say, wait a minute, if I do jump off this or if I jump off that Suboxone, then will I even have a chance to be okay again? And I always say this, Josh, I don't know if you're new to the show, I talk about this all the time, but any kind of emotional struggle that we go through, there is always a beginning, middle, and end to that emotional experience. So there will be a beginning part where it's a little bit tougher. There'll be a middle part where, okay, I'm getting through it. And then there'll be an end part where you'll be like, oh my goodness, I did. Because let's think about how you already made that transition off of opiates to begin with.
Yeah, trust me, I mean, it wasn't easy. It became like anybody who's ever had this issue, I'm sure of, is it becomes a financial burden.
Yes.
To most people. And, you know, once I stopped getting my prescription, and then it's, well, I'm not ready to stop taking these because I was hooked within 3 months of being prescribed them. I was hooked.
Right.
It got a hold of me in a way that I never saw coming.
Yeah, and that's the thing. This is why I get so passionate about wiping away judgment, because the truth is, this is neurological. It literally, we can see, if we did a brain scan, we'd say, oh my goodness, Josh, right here is where some of your new neural networks just connected. This is why this path is there. So we don't judge somebody for being hungry. So we don't want to judge somebody for struggling with this, because your brain is basically saying, the neurons are saying, hey, feed me this.
Yep.
I'm really grateful you called about this. Go ahead.
And there isn't a day that goes by, even though that I'm off, I haven't had a opioid in over 2 years now. But there isn't a day that goes by where I don't think about, I could go right back to being hooked on them in an instant, but at least I've gotten past that point where I'm not hooked on those. But now it's the Suboxone thing. And then going to find a doctor who will actually listen to you, and I've had so many issues with trying to find a proper doctor. I go in to talk to one doctor, and it's like the guy doesn't even listen to what I'm saying to him. I went in there telling him I'm taking X amount, this is what I'm taking per day. He just prescribes me 3 times what I'm taking already.
Mm.
And I'm going, wait, what?
Yeah. No,
I think the wrong way. I'm trying to get off the stuff, not get hooked on these.
I think that's it. No, I think that's it. That's why I want to give that number out one more time just to make sure you have it too. It's 1-833-301-HELP or 4357. That's the Addiction Resource Center. If you're the website is addictionresourcecenter.org. We're going to have somebody from Addiction Policy Forum on later. It's not like one organization. They get you the resource in your area. Josh, thank you so much for your call. I really, really applaud Josh for doing that, because that's what this is about, getting people the help. That's why we do this show. This is the show where we talk about the things that are important to you in your life. Tonight's topic is addiction. Of course, you know you can always call in about anything that you're struggling with, but if you want to be a part of the show, 866-391-1020. You can email us on the Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkaradio.com, or you can text us at 866-391-1020 on the Wright Automotive text line. That's the best deal in Pittsburgh. On the Wright Automotive text line, we got a message from Derek in Brentwood, who said he has been an inpatient and outpatient lots of times. It's been on Suboxone and everything, and personally, the thing that worked for him was methadone. That was what took the cravings away. You know, Josh was calling from Wisconsin, and that's why we are going to put up on our website the Addiction Policy Forum. They have the addictionresource.org, because we want you to be able to get help. One of the great, great things about Addiction Policy Forum and the ARC line, the Addiction Resource Center, is they are national. So you're talking about, and this isn't somebody with a stake in, hey, let me, and you need to come to me. This is people who are majority volunteer led, trying to get people the resources that they need. So there's a ton of information at addictionpolicyforum.com or the addictionresourcecenter.org. You can call this number. This is a number, and I really want you to hear it. 1-833-301-HELP, H-E-L-P, or 4357. That's the number. So one of the things, and the reason why I am so grateful to Josh and why I love to have people call in, is I want to really emphasize that you're not just helping yourself, you're helping others. There are people out there who have family members who are struggling with addiction, and you might say, maybe you have a family member struggling. You say, I don't understand. Why are they just not using? Why can't they just stop? Right? Well, it's not adjust. Again, we have a tendency to minimize other people's struggles, maximize our own. People can't just stop because it's neurological. One time I was working with a family, and the father was fairly judgmental toward his son. And I said to the father, he was right before lunch, the session, the counseling session, and he mentioned he was hungry. And I said, oh, well, hey, just don't be hungry while we're having a session. And he laughed it off. And I said, no, I'm serious. Just don't be hungry during the session. And I was real serious. And as I said that, and he looked at me and he said, what are you talking about? I can't just not be hungry. And I said, that's exactly what's going on with your son. He can't just not be addicted. He's struggling with addiction. And that was eye-opening for him, and I want it to be eye-opening for you. This is a safe place to talk it out. Yes, this is a radio, but you can always call in anonymously. You can always make up a name if you want. Addiction affects the whole family. It affects the whole family. So there are mothers and fathers who have lost children. I mean, it is as ineffably sad as we can comprehend. To lose a child is beyond words. And here's the thing that we really want to get to is, how do we get this help? What do we do? What do you do if you're the one who's struggling? How do you reach out? Well, tonight I'm giving you that resource because I want you to call that number, because that number will be there to guide you in whatever state you're in. And then I really want to have you understand that this is something that if we shine light on, we can change. If we leave it in the dark, we're not going to change it. And so we talk about stuff all the time. Here's the thing. This is something that I think is worth learning. When we're young, what do we play? We play, as small children, good guys and bad guys. Because children can only think in very concrete terms. So, hey, I'm a good guy. This is the bad guy. And it's really black and white, either or. Good guy, bad guy. Now, as you grow up, you start to realize that all people play a role in all interactions. So let's say that I have a disagreement with my wife, and I am, I'm 100% right, which I usually am, but maybe it's the way I come across, like I just did. And now I don't want to go home because I'm going to be in trouble. Just kidding. So maybe I feel like I'm right in a situation, and maybe I am technically, but I come across wrong way. I play a role in every interaction that I have. Now, why is this empowering to understand? Because if I know I play a role, then I can be responsible for the role that I play. If I can wipe away judgment, if I can start to increase understanding, if I can approach people with humility and set my ego aside and say, teach me about you. Teach me what's going on in your life. There are so many people who don't want to go because, as Josh said, you might get to someone who's not listening. You might get to someone who says, is judgmental as you're talking about it. Here's what I want you to hear if you're struggling with addiction. If someone is judgmental, they're doing it from a place of insecurity. And the reason why I want you to hear that is, it is not about you. It's about them. Now, when you hear that, I want you to know that it's worth continuing pursuing that help, because you'll break through to get the help you need. Here's what happens with addiction. Imagine a hijacker comes in and takes over. If a hijacker comes in and takes over a situation, we're not blaming the people who just got hijacked. Now, your neurons, when the hijacker takes over, here's what it takes over. It takes over the part of your brain that's your command center. So the part of your brain that's saying, do this, don't do that, is taken over by this hijacker. Now, instead of going for food, you might go for the drug. Instead of going to take care of your child, you might go for the drug. And it makes a lot of sense why people would step back and say, I can't believe you would hurt someone else, or I can't believe that you would fail to take care of a child and you would choose drugs over that. But in that judgmental thought, what we're saying is, oh, you're just sitting around with this luxury of saying, oh, everything's fine and I'm just haphazardly choosing this. No, the hijacker takes over the part of your brain, the command center, that's literally telling you what to do. So now food doesn't become as important. Taking care of others doesn't become as important, because the only thing that's important is that. So here's my analogy for you. Imagine that there's a baby sleeping in another room, and you accidentally touch a hot stove and you burn your hand and you yell out. And when you yell out, you wake up the baby. Now, you didn't intend to wake up the baby. You didn't intentionally or maliciously try to wake up the baby. Your hand got burned. You had a physiological reaction to something. And when you have a physiological reaction to something, you react. And that's what happens with addiction. People have a physiological reaction. You're not wrong or bad if you're struggling with addiction. It's neurological. There's help out there. There's different help. There's different things that work for different people, and that's why we're giving you the different numbers to be able to get the help you need. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk to someone from the Addiction Policy Forum. But this is the show where you get the help that you need. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti on KDKA Radio.
This is Emotional Management with Dr. Christian Conti on KDKA Radio.
This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. Today on the DISC Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline, I'm honored to have Doug Griffin. Doug Griffin is the New Hampshire State Chair for the Addiction Policy Forum. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Doug, tell us a little bit about, tonight we're talking about addiction, and it impacts people. Addiction is a topic that impacts people all over. I feel like so many people, even if they don't realize it, are impacted by addiction. Tell us a little bit about your background and your story.
I lost my daughter 4 years ago to an overdose of fentanyl. She was 20 years old. And up in New Hampshire, it's very difficult to get treatment. The availability of beds and insurance coverage and everything was a huge hassle. And since her passing, my wife and I have become advocates, and we've teamed up with the Addiction Policy Forum to head the New Hampshire state chapter. There will be a chapter in all 50 states, and we travel around the state spreading information and awareness about addiction. And as you say, in any conversation, in the laundromat, in the grocery store, if you bring up the topic, someone will tell you about, you know, one of their loved ones or close friends that's been affected. It's everywhere across our country.
It really is. And I talked to you earlier today. I mean, definitely, I mean, there are no words to talk about the pain and for the sorrow to have lost your daughter. So I'm super sorry about that.
Thank you.
The message that you tell people, what is the message you want people to hear?
That there is recovery, that there is hope. My goal is to get all people to work together, to work with their Lions clubs and their Rotary clubs and their churches, and get people involved. We can solve this problem by working together. I know that in my travels, I speak to an awful lot of ma and pa organizations that have no real funding, that are doing it out of the goodness of their hearts because they lost someone, someone in their family or a neighbor or something. And they have no funding, they have no money, so they get out there and they're doing the best they can with no tools.
Well, it's so true. And to me, it really moves through me as you say there is hope, because we had a caller earlier, Josh, who was struggling and said, you know, he's dealing with trying to get off and he's at a point where he's looking for that resource. I gave him the Addiction Resource Center number, but there is hope. And I think that's the encouraging piece, that people's brains do recover. They can bounce back. And I think a lot of people aren't aware of that.
Definitely. When my daughter was having her problems, an awful lot of her friends were facing the same difficulty. My daughter's boyfriend died in the same room a year later. And it was, it's devastating to the community. But half of her friends had gone through the recovery process and are now valuable members of our community. And in speaking with our governor, I'm pushing for something that I would classify as recovery-friendly job fairs, to try to get the employers to come out and accept the fact that, Bill's not going to be in work on Wednesday afternoon because he's got to go to his parole hearing. That doesn't make him a not valuable employee. They're great employees. People in recovery are great workers, and we need to welcome them back into society. Give them a chance.
That's a message that definitely echoes through me. I have a strong passion for working, especially with people who are incarcerated and are coming back out into the community. And a huge part of what I do is try to change the narrative around that. So I love that idea of the recovery friendly job fairs and having just a more understanding. It's fascinating to me that we live in a culture where a lot of people are steeped in their faith, and their faith is beautiful and wonderful, but that faith doesn't say let's block people out, let's cut people off and call people bad. That faith says let's embrace people. So when really I think this taps into the essence of who we all are, is to reach out and to help others. When it comes to recovery and hope, okay, so that's the message for the people who are struggling with it. What about to family members? What are some of the messages that you teach family members?
To pitch in, give back, you know, try to help out. Right now I'm involved in a campaign, and I have been for about 15 months now, of uniting the churches in New Hampshire to work together. And it's working. We're having a luncheon with the governor. He's invited 100 pastors to lunch. I mean, that's pretty unusual to have a governor inviting the faith-based community to sit down and talk about addiction. And that's the way we'll solve it, is by getting the conversation into the churches, out on the street, and making it something that's a disease like it really is.
Oh, that definitely is amazing. See, to me, that's what action is. That's what it is all about. You're literally out there doing it and changing it. That's honor right there. So with some of the families, who say, how do we approach this? How do we approach this topic with our child? Like, what would you have wanted to say differently with your daughter? Or what have you learned that you would like other families to say to their children?
Well, I think you need to face it. You need to have the conversation. You need to bring it up and talk about it. Not as if it was an evil monster in the other room, but something that's right in the room with you, because believe it or not, a lot of the people that are listening to your show tonight have someone in their home that they don't even know is using, and they don't know how to bring that subject up. They don't know how to, you know, bring the conversation into the room. And I think that there's nothing wrong with starting it with your kids in elementary school or middle school. Talk about the problem. Talk about, you know, the vaping problem that's taking off all over now, and the need for us to communicate and let these kids know that they're not invincible. That this is a forever kind of problem. You know.
So that really resonates with me. I have said, so one of the things I'll do with my daughter is if it's been an uncomfortable subject as she's in junior high, I've kind of laughed and said, all right, listen, honey, this is going to sound really uncomfortable for a couple of minutes, but I want to just get it out there. And so we'll throw out a topic, because for me as a professional counselor, like, I definitely know that it is important to just talk about it. And I also know, and I try to express this a lot on my show, there's a beginning, middle, and end to every emotional experience. So yes, it might be uncomfortable for a moment, but your children, your loved ones are worth it to sit through that discomfort and say, let's just get it out there. As you say, face it. Let's bring it up. Let's just start talking about it. There's no perfect way to begin the conversation.
No, and one thing that I stress, we are losing an awful lot of people. And when someone loses a child, you don't, like, stop talking to them. You don't, like, stop visiting them. You don't exclude them from an invitation because they've lost a child. It's very difficult losing a child. And you want to talk about your child. You want to see whatever pictures anyone has of your child, because there's never going to be any new pictures. So if you have pictures of my child, post them on Facebook. Show them to me so that I can capture these pictures, because it's such a blessing to see a brand new picture that someone has posted of my daughter having a good time, probably doing something I wouldn't support, but she was a wild child.
To see her face, like, I feel as a father, like, I feel your words, like, just to see her face is what would light you up.
I I'm an advocate, and I've worked really hard at this. And since my daughter has passed, she's been on the front page of the paper 32 times, and I see her face pop up when they're doing a story about addiction or something. And my daughter, she had a different perspective on life. If you asked my daughter what she wanted to be when she grew up, she would say Hawaiian. You know, so she had a great outlook on life, but we just couldn't rein her in, and the resources weren't available. But now they are, and with the Addiction Policy Forum, we're getting those resources out to people, to the coalitions, to the schools, and everything is free of charge. Everything's free of charge.
Okay, and if you'd be will you be willing to stick around right after we take this short break and stick with us for a little bit? I want to finish talking to you a little bit more.
Sure.
Okay, that's awesome. So we're going to be back with more with Doug Griffin from the Addiction Policy Forum after this. This is Emotional Management on KDKA Radio. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. We're talking about addiction tonight. We're facing addiction head on the Emotional Management Show. On the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline with me tonight is Doug Griffin, who is the New Hampshire State Chair of the Addiction Policy Forum, continuing this conversation. Doug, I mean, your words are really powerful. The work you're doing is, that's genuine. That's real life. And I, one of the things that you said to me before the break that I just love is there is hope. So many people struggling with addiction don't believe there's hope, but
there definitely is.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think that's huge.
I think a message for your listeners that is really important. If you have a child that is suffering with substance use disorder, and you know it, it's kind of like when you first have a baby. You know, you walk by the nursery and you kind of peek in at night to make sure that they're still breathing. Well, it's the same way when you have a child with substance abuse disorder.
Mm.
You walk by their room and you peek in there just to hear them breathing. And if you haven't faced it before, it's difficult to imagine that stress. But I would recommend that they would get naloxone and have it in the house. There's nothing wrong with having it to save your child's life. It's a great thing to have it by your nightstand if you have a child that's got a problem.
And talk a little bit about naloxone. Just give us a brief overview real quick on that.
Naloxone, when you overdose, your brain basically tells your body to slow way, way down. So you're barely breathing. Your heart is barely beating. And when you use the nasal spray or the injector of naloxone, it just causes the opioids to release from the receptors, and you bounce back relatively quickly, within minutes, if you get them in time. And it's not there's no bad side effects from it. You're not going to injure somebody by giving it to them, and you can save a life.
Well, and I think that growing up, my dad always emphasized education. One of the things he would have me get involved with was poetry, and one of our favorite poems was A.E. Houseman, and A.E. Houseman says in one of his poems, prepare for ill and not for good. So we need to be prepared for what might come. And so I think that naloxone is so important to have. One of the questions that comes up is blame, because so many people will say they blame themselves and they take this on. For me, this is really something I want to eliminate, because what I have found time and again is that people, when they live in shame, they act out of shame. For me, it's not about blame. But could you talk a little bit about that role?
Yeah, I think you always have to be looking forward. You can't look backward, especially if you face the loss. You can't sit there and keep thinking, well, if I had done this, I could have done this, we should have done it. It's crazy. Get busy and help somebody else out. That's what you can do.
Mm.
Blame is hideous. It can drive you into depression. There's no need to sit there and tear yourself apart about something that you could have done or something you should be doing. Just do it. If your child is still alive or someone that you love is suffering and has a problem, get involved with the community. Get them some help. Face it head on. Don't skirt the issue. Face it head on.
That it just rings all the way through me, echoes all the way through me, because I really wholeheartedly believe that. I think that the past is gone. We cannot get one single second of the past back. The only thing we have is the present moment and what we're going to do from here forward. So, I'm really kind of all on board on getting rid of blame. It is not about, I think what happens is a lot of times for people when they're lost and they're in pain. And so when you grab onto things like good and bad, right and wrong and blame, then we get to have a sense of something to target and put our anger toward or put our sadness toward. But the truth is, it's not doing any good. It's really not.
It's destructive. Definitely destructive. And another thing, you hear them, they have to hit rock bottom. That's crap. If someone was had cancer, would you wait until they were just about dead before you did something for them? No. I mean, you need to react today. Try to get them into treatment today. Don't wait for them to hit rock bottom. That's a crazy thing to do.
Agreed. I definitely agree with that. That is That's a lesson that is good for everyone. I really want our listeners to hear, just not just about addiction, about everything in life. We don't need to wait until this idea, this myth of rock bottom, because why? You hit the nail on the head. You're exactly right. You're not going to wait for anything else until it's that bad. We want to, as soon as we see something's off, that's when to have the conversation. And how do you recommend people, what would you say? Because we were talking a little bit about this before the break. How do they begin that conversation?
Well, you could say, are there drugs in your school? You know, because you and I both know that the kids in school know who's using, where they're getting it, you know, who has it on them that day,
yep.
But they don't talk about it. There's a code in all the schools in America. It's like, it's unbelievable, and you can't crack this code. So, you know, you could begin the conversation by saying, I heard there was a lot of drugs over in the school in such and such a county. Are they in your school? You know, and the kids will open up a little at a time. I have a pinball machine in my house, and that's how I was always able to talk to my kids over a game of pinball. We'd just kind of skirt the question for a minute, and then we could get into talking about it, whatever, without them having to look me right in the eye. They could talk about it, you know.
Yes. So that's a really important. That's a really important thing to a key to highlight is it doesn't have to be we sit down and we put the hot lights on you, and this is interview lights, and no, we're getting out the microphones and the video cameras, and we're interviewing you in this, you know, this hot situation. No, it's let's be doing whatever we're doing, playing a big game of basketball. Playing a board game, just
right.
Being together, and then just bringing it up. Like, and again, there's no right, and that's what I really want listeners to hear, that there is no right way. It's not like, oh, this is the right way, that's the wrong way. It's getting it out there. Because one thing I think is I have found effective is this. I call myself on if I'm ineffective. Wow, I would have liked to have said it differently, but now that it's out there, this is really what I want to talk about.
right.
I wish there was a better way for me to say this. There's not, but here's how I'm going to say it. I'm just going to have some verbal diarrhea here and just say whatever is on my mind.
And also, you can have your kids' friends over the house. Get to know your kids' friends. You know, if there's new friends in the group, that's a flag. You know, if there's somebody that they don't bring home, if they're ashamed to bring them to the house, or they're starting to go over someone's house that you don't know a little too often, you know, call them on it. You know, say, hey, why don't you invite Joe over for dinner tonight? You know, we're having game night.
Yes.
You know, I think game night is a great thing. No matter how, I mean, my kids, I still have game night. My kids are in their 30s.
Yes.
You know, it's a great thing.
It really is. And it's true. We need to just shine light on it and say, here we go. Let's talk about it. You have a new friend in your store. Tell me about this friend. Tell me about it. And anything that is seems to be, like I always say, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. If
yeah.
you, as a parent, have a sense, hey, my child seems to be off, it's okay to say, hey, I love you. You seem to be off. I'm not sure what's going on. There's no accusations. I'm just saying you seem to be off. And when we, as long as we rely on behavioral observations, I feel that's one of the best ways to get around fight or flight response. I say, hey, honey, I noticed that you seem a lot more tired recently. Tell me what's going on. I want to know what's going on.
Yeah, and I think if you do things with your kids, take them to a ball game, take their friends with you, go to the beach, go camping for the weekend, you get to see them, you know, over a few hour period of time, and then you can tell if they're safe.
Doug, thank you so much. Like, this is absolutely, it's unbelievable to have you on to share what you have shared with us tonight. Doug Griffin, New Hampshire State Chair of the Addiction Policy Forum. He has genuinely shown us some really wonderful things, and we're going to keep giving the number all night for the Addiction Resource Center. But thank you so much for being on with us tonight.
Thank you very much, Dr. Conti.
This is Emotional Management on KDKA Radio. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. Tonight we're facing addiction head on, and coming up, we're going to talk more and really bring the point home. Emotional Management on KDKA Radio. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. The subject tonight has been addiction. Look, the phone lines are going to be open until 10. The number to call in. Maybe you're struggling with addiction. Maybe you have a loved one who is struggling with addiction. Maybe you have a family member who you're just not certain whether or not that person's struggling, and you want to know, how do I go about it? How do I deal with it? Well, 866-391-1020 is the number. I always want to throw out on this show, because we deal with real issues. So when we deal with real issues, sometimes it's scary to put yourself out there. So the two things I want you to know, because sometimes we don't realize this, is on the radio, no one can see you, and you can give us just your first name, or you can make up a first name. The important thing is that we talk about what it is that you want to talk about. The important thing is to get you the help, and also to shine light for others as well. The number is 866-391-1020. Of course, you are welcome, and we have some emails on the Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkaradio.com. Or you can text us at 866-391-1020 on the Wright Automotive text line. That's the best deal in Pittsburgh. It was an absolutely amazing two segments with Doug Griffin, the New Hampshire State Chair for the Addiction Policy Forum. That is education. That is shining light. He said some very powerful things. Some of the things that he talked about are things that I want you to hear, not just for addiction, but in everything in life. So, for instance, the first thing was, don't wait till it's rock bottom. My goodness, was that a powerful analogy? He said you wouldn't wait if you were struggling, if you found out you had cancer, you wouldn't wait till it got so bad that you would then start to do something about it. So we would, as soon as we find out, let's deal with it then. And that's powerful. That's powerful to know. Something else that he said, I just kind of want to review because this might be something that hits home for you. He said, listen, don't stop talking to someone who lost their child. Here's why we stop talking. Here's why we do this. We're afraid of the subject of death. We're honestly afraid of the subject of death. Yet we will all experience death. The reality is, if you've lived long enough, you already have experienced the loss of someone. So we're all going to experience it. Somehow, some way, we think it's, if we don't say anything about it, then we won't be experiencing the pain. So my grandmother died December 2nd, 1995. I was very close with my grandma. And I remember I was in college at the time, and none of my friends, I mean, they were all kids. Nobody knew what to say or how to say anything. But I'll never forget, there was a girl who I really didn't know, but she came up to me and she said, I'm so sorry to hear about your grandmother. And that impacted me. That stuck with me. Years later, I remember that someone took the time to say, I'm sorry to hear about that. And now, again, it's not that we are having the most perfect words and everything's taken away. But instead of shying away from it, it's okay to just say, listen, I'm sorry. I am so sorry to see that you're struggling or that you're in that type of a situation or that you had that kind of pain. So to reach out, let's not stop talking about it. As Doug mentioned, he would love to see pictures of his daughter. He would love to see that. I mean, this is your family. And the other message that Doug gave, and I think this is the message that is, my goodness, do I want to reach in your hearts and have you feel, and that is, there is hope. That's why I want you to call in. There is hope. Look, the Addiction Policy Forum has the addiction resource line, and it is 1-833-301-HELP. So that's 1-833-301-4357. If you or a loved one are struggling with addiction, please take the time to call them. I got involved with the Addiction Policy Forum because I met their founder, Jess Nickel, just one of the most incredible human beings. And she and I, the moment we started talking, we hit it off. I have dedicated my career to approaching people with compassion, wiping away judgment. You know, it was something Doug said earlier about, we talked about blame. What use is there? It's gone. What are we doing with the blame? Let's work from this moment forward. What can we do from right here, right now? So when Jess and I first connected, we were talking about how we set aside that shame, set aside blame. Let's just get education. Let's shine light. My whole yield theory is based on conscious education and compassion. I think where we shine light, we can change things. And I think that's really difficult for a lot of people. So many people, it comes back to this. And I really want this to, I want you to hear this. It comes back to being a child and thinking we had good guys and bad guys. Well, this makes sense. A plus B equals C. And as long as A plus B equals C, our world makes sense. But then we get immersed in this universe. When I grew up, hey, we were real certain that there were 9 planets in the solar system. Now here we are all these years later, and we understand that maybe there are 8 planets and 5 dwarf planets. One of those dwarf planets, Ceres, is actually bigger than Pluto. And my goodness, there might be a moon on the outside of the solar system. We have things that we don't even know about in our own solar system, let alone a galaxy with hundreds of billions of stars and billions, trillions, 2 trillion galaxies. I just think we live in a world that's so enormous that it is silly. It is really childish to try to bring the world down to it's just black and white, either or, good and bad. And when we do that, we ostracize people. We push people aside. You're wrong for this. You're bad for this. Instead, let's not try to find one isolated target for our anger. Let's not try to find one isolated target for our sadness, for our anxiety. Instead, let's recognize that there are multiple factors, and we're one of them. We're one of the factors that contribute. We are creating the content of this universe. Imagine that. You're a writer in the story of the universe right now. You're a writer. You're an author in the story of what the world is right now. So what are you writing? So think about it. From this moment forward, the next time you gossip, I really want you to hear this, you're contributing gossip to the world. The next time you're negative, I need you to hear this, you're contributing negativity to the world. What do you want to bring to the world? The past is gone. We can't get it back. I said this earlier. We've gotten to a point where, as I get older, I see that it's not about making things complicated. It's about making things pretty simple. We master what we practice. We are what we put out there. So if we're going to constantly put out judgment, negativity, anger, that's what we're creating in our world. So if we can set that stuff aside. Now, I understand, again, I come back to the reason why people are judgmental. The reason why. Because people become judgmental because they cling to what they've always known, which is, if I can get an easy answer, hey, this is the bad guy. Hey, this is the problem. That's why when an event happens, when people struggle with opioids, we say opioids are the bad guy. But the truth is, some people survive on opioids and they need that to get through their lives. And instead of thinking either or, one side to the other, let's think about balance. Let's think about education. Let's think about what we can shine light on. Addiction impacts the whole family. It could be impacting you. The other piece that Doug and I talked about that I think is really important to shine light on is this. When you want to start a conversation, so one of my favorite professors was a guy named Dr. Nick Hanna. He was awesome. So I was talking to him. He was in the field like 50 years. Psychologist, awesome guy. One day we were talking, and in the middle of me talking, he said, you know what? You're going to have to say that again. I just started daydreaming. I missed what you said. he said, I'm a human being. Human beings daydream sometimes. And I thought that was awesome. I thought that was so self-aware. I'm like, you're right. That's okay. It's not right or wrong, good or bad. Human beings daydream sometimes. Sometimes we need to just call ourselves. Hey, I don't know how to start this conversation, but here it is. Hey, coming up after the break, we're going to talk more about this, addiction. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti on KDKA Radio. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. Tonight we're talking about addiction. We're facing addiction head on. I never want you to think, hey, listen, if we're talking about a specific subject, you only have to dial in about that subject. You could always call in about anything. And if you want to talk, the number is 866-391-1020, or you can email us on the Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkaradio.com, or you can text us at 866-391-1020 on the Wright Automotive text line. That's the best deal in Pittsburgh. So here's the thing. When we deal with this subject, some of the first things, and let's say you haven't called in, but yet you're dealing with this? Because again, I know this is in. For 20 years, I have worked with people, and a lot of times people say, well, why is it that we're just understanding this now about addiction? Well, in the general public, I say, okay, yes, it's become more of a national conversation, but my entire career, I've been a professional counselor. So for 20 years, this is what I've dealt with. So I've dealt with people come in struggling with addiction, family members who have a loved one who's dealing with this. So this kind of is my world. This has been my world. And when it comes to the things that I see, it has always been in my foreground. But now I'm noticing, yes, more of a national conversation around it. And again, we want to pinpoint an answer. So if you listen to talk shows in general, if you listen to people calling in, people tend to want to blame something. It's this. This is the culprit. This is the reason why. And again, that makes us feel good. It makes us feel warm and fuzzy. Hey, I have the answer. The answer is this very one thing. Here's the problem with that. A, it's simply not true. And B, it discounts, downplays, ignores the role you play in the situation. So we are all a part of the content that is in this world. Let's take YouTube, for instance. So I have a YouTube channel. It's just YouTube, Dr. Christian Conti. This YouTube channel, literally, you can create your own YouTube channel. And you can contribute whatever content in the entire world you want to give to the world. So I started a station thinking there are a lot of people out there who don't have access to mental health services. So I'm going to start to do videos that'll give people free help. Now, I simply get in front of a camera and just start talking. I share what I've been blessed to come across, information I've been blessed to come across. I share that with the world. You have an opportunity to do that as well. That's one outlet. You might say, okay, well, making videos isn't for me. Well, we talked to Doug Griffin earlier tonight. Doug talked about getting involved in your churches, in your community, bringing people together. There are things you can do. So now you can sit and focus on what you cannot do. You can sit and play the blame game. Well, it's all this. It's all that. Or you can actually stop complaining and start doing something. And it's not rallying people to hate. It's not rallying people to share in your anger. That is not the answer. Anger will never be overcome by anger, but by love alone. Rallying people to feel your anger for something comes from a place of insecurity. It's not about rallying people to feel your anger. It's about shining light and saying, hey, this is worth you understanding and learning. So I was a professor for a long time. I love teaching. And one of the things that I always thought was I would leave the door open. I say, anybody can come in and watch my class. We used to have students would invite friends and family members to come into a typical class. And I always loved that. And I said, my door's open. And the reason why my door's open is I'm being paid to teach. So now if young people weren't getting my message, I didn't say, oh, these students nowadays, I didn't blame. I said, no, what am I doing that's not as effective? And what can I do differently? So the question is, what can you do differently? Part of what you can do differently when it comes to the topic of addiction is be a part of changing the narrative. Instead of throwing out words like that person's a junkie, they're just a this or just that, instead of calling people names, start to spread the awareness of, you know, I wonder what it's like from that person's perspective. I wonder what it's like when someone craves a substance more than food. How badly must that person be struggling for that? I remember working with a young man one time, a ton of potential. This guy was working with like really famous music people I can't say even the name of because I don't want any trace back to this person. But he would make music for really, really famous music people. And he said, I remember walking through San Francisco and I saw a man one time, a homeless man, he put a needle off the street into his hand. And he said, I thought that was the most disgusting thing in the world. And I said, how could human beings live like that? He said, do you know that it was not one full year later where I found myself on the streets of the same city doing the same thing? Oftentimes we think this addiction is out there. It's somewhere else. It's here. It's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. How do we start the conversation? Not by saying how people are wrong and bad and how we need to judge everyone. Instead, let's shine light on how can we reach out? How can we make ourselves a safe space? How can we help people? How can we support people through what they're going through? How can we say people deserve to be looked at as equally as before we found out they're struggling with some sort of an addiction? How can we set aside judgment and move forward together? Because there is a way to do that. There is a way to do that. My wife said something awesome once about the whole idea. You know, there's so much anger around politics and all that stuff. She said, isn't it interesting that before elections, we have debates? And why do we have debates? Automatically, we set up, we're going to have an argument between two people. What if we had a discussion instead of a debate? What if everyone kind of just said, let's all throw out the best possible ideas and work from there? What if we shined light in that way? That's the message that we want to do. Shine light. That's what we do on the Emotional Management Show. We shine light. This is Dr. Christian Conti, Emotional Management on KDKA Radio. I tell you what, tonight has been powerful to talk about addiction. I mean, really, honestly, from the calls that we got, this is a subject that hits everyone. So for me, what I want to do is continue to shine light on every single emotional issue that we face. We're all going to face emotional issues. We're all going to struggle at times. And we need each other. We need each other to be our best. We don't need gossip. We don't need negativity. We don't need to call people names and make it all about good guys and bad guys. What we really need is to support each other, to be there for each other, to get some education and find out. Look, I thought it was really interesting. Today I was showing brain scans to a group of nurses and I was saying, look, this is what we know today. Like, for instance, I was talking about meditation. I've talked about it on the show before. I'll talk about it again in the future, but I was showing how the brain literally changes with meditation. So this is 2018. 20 years ago, I taught meditation. I was still meditating and teaching it, but back then it was kind of like, oh, this is a little weird. But now I can say, look, this meditation makes physical changes to your brain. And the neurology aspect to me is so powerful because when we look at things like addiction, we see that someone has something going on physiologically with them. What my hope is we become aware that we're all struggling and we need each other's kindness and compassion above everything else. Hey, my name is Dr. Christian Conti. This is the Emotional Management Show. And as always, I wish you much peace.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.